It's another Friday afternoon, and you are tuned to another episode of The Sod Show at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/The Sod Show, and sodshow.com for anything you hear on today's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
Now, you might remember in 2017, some weeks back, I spoke with a lady by the name of Barbara Segal. Barbara had written a book called Secret Gardens of East Anglia, a private tour of 22 gardens, of which I should say, and note that the photography by Marcus Harper is absolutely amazing. But one of the things I stumbled across mid-flow in that conversation was the fact that Barbara was also the editor of some publications. One of them, it transpires, is the publication for the UK's Herb Society. But I did have to scratch my head and say, why, number one, are there so many societies? And number two, let's be quite frank about this. As sure as I queried why Barbara was a hula hooping fan, and that is not a made-up fact, you have to query, or at least my childlike head had to query. And so on the end of the telephone line, I have Malcolm Dixon. Malcolm is the honorary treasurer of the Herb Society in the UK, and he is also the owner of Hooks Green Herbs. Malcolm, you're very welcome to the Sod Show. How are you, my good man?
Thank you very much, Peter. I'm very well.
For those of you who are listening to this, Malcolm's line is a little bit come and go, but that's down to the Dylan Moran, line of living somewhere shire, or in my case, it's living in Ballybohol in the middle of absolute nowhere. So it may just come and go just that little bit, and I appreciate you sticking with me on this one. The Herb Society in the UK, when you tell people you're a member of it, do they giggle? Do they raise a question? Have I got that whole thing wrong that you are a niche within a niche?
I was thinking about what you said, and I don't get the niche within the niche bit. I think the Herb Society is now 90 years old. It was founded ages ago. People have known about it within the industry of horticulture and herbs. And it probably is known more, certainly initially was known more for the medicinal side of it. And that was its main function at the time. I think Hilda Lale, who actually set it up and encouraged people to join her, was to do with medicinal. She was interested in the health of the nation. And one of the points of the reason debt was to improve the health of the nation. So it's really developed from there. And nowadays, I think it's seen as an overall umbrella society whereby it encompasses, obviously, culinary, which is more important now than perhaps the medicinal side, although the medicinal side, of course, is still very strong and still has a major following.
Well, I play devil's advocate to an extent, Malcolm, but to be quite fair about it, if I turn around, and let me give you a random example here, just we'll take Herb Society aside and Peter will go off on a tangent, as invariably I do. But I remember some moons ago, Yeovil Town managed to get promoted to one of the divisions, we'll call it Division Number 3, and somebody decided in a really tiny pub to set up a Yeovil Town Supporters Club.
Right.
And the question was raised, why would you want to do that? And in all of the questions I ask you, and again, most of you who know the Sod Show will know this, but for those of you who listen, Malcolm's answers are hugely important and my questions maybe not so important here. But if I turned around in today's age, does that make a little bit sense with you?
To a degree, but I would say that nowadays the umbrella society, the Herb Society, has a lot of offshoots within the country. And these are all local herb groups where people meet to discuss herbs and listen to speakers and generally socialize with each other because they have a common interest. And that interest is actually herbs. And of course, herbs have been part of our living for a long time, far longer than the Herb Society. I mean, when you look back and how people managed their lives and how they stayed healthy and what they used to stay healthy, it was to do with herbs. It was to do with all the things that grew around them, and then they started eating them and trying them and see what happened.
Your own business is Hooks Green Herbs, Malcolm. How did you end up in that specifically? Where, as we previously discussed, were you a Peter Donegan who grew plants under your bed? And if you were, how did you end up then specialising, let's say, in herbs?
Well, it goes back to 1990, the early 90s. And I was working in industry as a sales director, and this moved away from the job that I was in and decided to downshift. And my wife and I, my wife was growing plants and for the house, and she was growing far too many. So someone suggested that we put them into an auction, a local auction in Cheshire. So we put them in the car, took them up on the Wednesday, put them on the floor in this auction house, and then got a check on a Saturday. So it was a transition period for me from working with a paycheck coming in each month to actually going off on my own to do things. But I realized that actually cash flow like that is really worthwhile. If you can put sell something during the week and get a check on the Saturday, it makes a lot of sense. So we decided to put up a couple of polytunnels, and we decided to grow things. So we grew a lot. We grew a whole range of bedding materials, as well as herbs, as well as perennials and climbers and shrubs and so on. And I ended up doing two or three markets during the week, and then we were doing wholesale and all sorts. And then my son left school and didn't know what to do, so I sent him off to do an HND in horticulture at Pershore because he was interested in what we were doing. And then having done that, he went off to South Africa and then came back with a South African wife. And when he came back, I said to him, well, let's work together on this. And the thing we ought to do is herbs, because I'd noticed during the period we'd been working. So this was from the 90s into the early 2000s. That herbs were a great thing to sell, because they, as from the point of view of selling, they were an impulse buy that people would pick up four herbs for 10 quid or whatever it was. And there was a lot of television at the time of cooking as well as growing, the gardening programs, and the herb side of it was quite evident. So I said, well, that's what we'll do. We'll get rid of everything else. We'll only do herbs, and then we'll concentrate on doing all the shows throughout the country. And I think it was around that time that I was being pestered by one of the other trustees in the Herb Society, and they said, you ought to join the Herb Society. It's part of what you do. You ought to be a member of the Herb Society. And I really questioned it, because I felt it was more, it wasn't really applicable to the commercial side of herbs. But ultimately, I was cajoled, and I ended up joining as a trustee of the committee that ran the Herb Society. And it was very interesting. And it was interesting from the point of view there were a lot of knowledgeable people about, so it was a good networking situation. Meanwhile, Thomas and I actually went on and started doing the shows, from the smaller shows in around Cheshire, the one Arley show and Southport show. And then we were invited to do a display at Malvern, RHS Malvern. And we started to get into the RHS, and then ultimately in 2011, we went down and did Chelsea, and then we did Hampton Court and all the big shows. So that's what we do now. And 2014, we managed to get a gold medal at Chelsea for the Peter Rabbit Herb Garden that we did in conjunction with the World of Beatrix Potter from Cumbria. So we really moved on, and it's gone a long way. And the Herb Society has been an interesting part, albeit it's gone from being very strong to we had to fight hard to keep it going and so on. So it's not been an easy journey, but now we're in a position where we've got seven trustees we've got, and it makes life a lot more enjoyable. So yeah, that's the journey so far.
Let's sidetrack then back into the Herb Society, Malcolm, and you touched on it briefly there, possibly, but it came up in conversation before Christmas of horticultural societies as an entity. And to back up what I was saying to you earlier on, when I put out the question about why would somebody become a member of a society and how come there are so many in the UK, there was one answer in particular that jumped off the page from Sophie Le Guil, a former guest of the show. And Sophie noted that, I think local heart societies were created for their social function, in brackets like knitting groups, book clubs, etc., as specialist ones for people to be able to share knowledge across the country, and events give an excuse to travel. Essentially, what seemed to come out of that question was that the common denominator between like-minded individuals may well be, in this case, that there is a passion for growing herbs or a love of herbs in particular, but more there's a social function to it. How have you seen hort societies, in this case the Herb Society, change over the last decades? Where do they stand now and what is the future for them?
I think that over the last decade we certainly have had to fight hard to keep a membership. Everything's available. Everything is out there. You can get hold of information. It's not difficult. So from the point of view of a society providing the information and being able to, as a source of information, I think that has certainly dwindled and become diluted. So what do you say from the point of view of the social side and meeting other people and that sort of thing? I think it's far more important in that aspect. And that's why it's become more parochial. So we have now a number of groups within a society that are almost autonomous. They operate on their own and they do their own thing. So the society is an umbrella. It produces a magazine which tends to tie the whole thing together. It has a diary so people know what's going on where and can attend courses and talks and so on. There is a resource from the point of view of information. So there's a whole series of how to, and that's what the society provides. But I think the fragmentation into local groups is something we've seen over the last 10 years, and probably to the detriment of the overall society from the point of view of membership.
Do you find it hard to get members in, Malcolm? Have you seen a peak and a trough over the last number of years in that, and has it come back around in your favour?
Yes, I think definitely have to work extremely hard. And we have 4,500 people who like our Facebook page, but we only have a quarter of that in membership. So that's the sort of thing that's difficult to get your head around. And how do you convert it so that you can keep the money coming in and you can keep the whole herb society running in the right direction? How do you transfer the interest from those 4,500 people or more into solid membership and engagement? And certainly that seems to be the way it's going. And we're working hard to try and convert and maintain that what we're doing.
Well, let's get into the other side of it then, Malcolm. For those who are listening to this at home, there are two things that some people have suggested to me, in part because of what I do, which is this wonderful garden podcast, which allows me to talk to equally wonderful people like yourself and Barbara. But new people, or people who are on the cusp maybe of joining a horticultural society, usually tell me, number one, as you rightly noted just there, that maybe you're a bit too on the commercial or a bit too experienced, or essentially that on the opposite end of the scale, maybe it wasn't a little bit for you. And equally, there's also a case for the newcomer, irrespective of age, of whether it's for them because they may feel slightly inferiority complexed, if that's even correct English, in that they mightn't have enough knowledge and they might feel a little bit outside of the box should they turn up on a random Monday or at a random meeting. What's it like for a new person to essentially walk through those double doors?
Well, my perception of what would happen is that it would be a group that they would be joining because the Herb Society has a limited number of meetings itself. It has an AGM, which is the main meeting during the year, which is all to do with the figures and where we've been and what we're doing. And that's the prime meeting. So if they attended the AGM, they would get a picture of the society as a whole, and meet up with the number of people who would have made an effort to come and have a look. I mean, the last one we had was at Tatton Park, and from the membership we had about 40 or 50 people. We had a luncheon and we had a tour around the gardens at Tatton Park. So it was a social idea, and it was also an idea of what the Herb Society is about and trying to encourage people to get involved and engage. And that's that meeting. But if it was a local meeting where they had a speaker, I'm sure that they'd be welcomed, and they would then realize that they were with like-minded people talking about herbs, an interest in herbs, whether it be from the medicinal side or from the culinary side. There's so much to learn. There's so much involved that it's an interesting situation to be in, and can be very rewarding. That's how I see it. And I think the rewards are that you meet like-minded people, you discuss things that you're interested in, you're growing your own garden, you've got your own herb garden, you want to talk about how the hell do you get coriander to grow properly because it doesn't do anything in this, you know, it just goes to seed and I can't get enough leaves. And it's all those points and things that help people to achieve what they want to do in their gardening and their herb gardens and so on.
How much does it cost to become a member, Malcolm?
The membership for an individual is £27 a year. And for that,
a year.
A year. They get the three wonderful magazines that Barbara Segal produces, edits, and there's also an e-newsletter that goes out in between the magazines. So that's an email that has information that's done by one of our trustees, Nikki, who lives in Jersey. And then there's the access to the benefits from the RHS. Being an affiliated society, we have advantage that where we can do a trip to one of their gardens. We get entry to some of the shows at a discounted rate. And there's membership of the local clubs, groups that are around the country, which then go into different things where they have talks and so on. On the website, you can put your name up if you want to do talks and so on. And we're just looking at revamping the website now because we've run it for a number of years and it's it needs a bit of a new life. So that's what we're aiming at now.
Well, let me put it to you this way. For those of you listening at home, €27 a year. If you took what Malcolm just said and you headed to maybe Tatton, which I had the pleasure to be at in 2017, and let's say you went to Chelsea like I did also in 2017, you would probably find that you would save yourself just that membership fee alone, literally by becoming a member if you bought those two tickets on there, Todd. So you're already at a break even. Let's skew sideways then, Malcolm, into Chelsea and the garden that you did there. Was that garden built entirely out of herbs?
What we went for was that the story goes that on 2013 I was on our stand that we had at Chelsea and I got a call from one of the guys up at Windermere to say that we delivered some herbs and one or two of them were the wrong quantity or something. So I said to him, his name was Tim, great guy. He calls himself Mr. McGregor. But I said to him, look, I'm on Chelsea Flower Show at the moment. Can I ring you next week and sort it out? And he said, well, have you got our name up in lights that you supply the world of Beatrix Potter with herbs? I said, no, we haven't actually, but I'll come and talk to you about it afterwards. And from that, we went up, Thomas and I went up and met up with the people up at Windermere, discussed with them the question of whether they would join us in a joint display in the Grand Floral Pavilion at Chelsea in 2014. And they were interested and they had their own designer and they had their own props company that makes the props for the theatre that they opened during the winter up there. So we were on a bit of a winner, really. So we decided that we would grow everything and they would do all the hard hardware work. And we worked from, this was back in August through to the following May when Chelsea was. So we worked during that time with the designer. He came up with a design which was brilliant. Each vista on the display, so if you're looking from one end of the side, the other end or the other side, was a picture from the book, a Beatrix Potter's book of Peter Rabbit. And in that they produced models of Peter Rabbit in sitting in the garden eating radishes, and behind him you've got the picture of the beans on the sticks, and you've got the espalier trees on the walls, and you've got the footpath, and you've got the fence. And so everything had to be authentic to the book. And then the next picture was Peter Rabbit hiding in the greenhouse in the watering can with his ears sticking up. And we planted everything with herbs, and we bought in some vegetables, which we don't grow, so we planted all that, and we did it all the way around. And then the next picture was Mr. McGregor's garden with the scarecrow and the little blue jacket and the shoes. And then the final one on the far side was the back of the greenhouse, the blue door where you've got Peter Rabbit with no clothes on, talking to the mouse, telling him what happened. And it all went brilliantly. It looked fantastic. And we were really pleased with it. And of course, they gave us a gold medal, which was great. And so I can now say I've got a gold medal from Chelsea and I can retire. I think, you know, a gold medal at Chelsea is what every horticulturalist in the business or in the show business wants. And you can talk about gold medals at Tatton Park and you can talk about them at Hampton Court or Chatsworth or wherever. But Chelsea gold medal is probably what everybody understands. So there it is in framed in the loo.
Well, in a nutshell, I can't disagree with that. It is for a kid who grew up in 1980s Ireland, watching Top of the Pops and seeing any band on there, it was the ultimate. And to analogize that back across, there is no question about it. A gold at Chelsea Flower Show is without question the ultimate. When I speak to the garden designers and builders at Chelsea 2017 and equally those heading to 2018, Malcolm, when I'm talking to the hortus loci of this world, they explain to me that the amount of plants that they grow, in order to have one, they might grow four. Where and was it a case that you had to do something similar for your own at Chelsea? How pristine did it come? Because it's one thing to grow herbs that are saleable, let's say, on a, let's call it a supermarket shelf, and then to produce it at a level where it has to be awarded. And when I speak to the Rob and Rosemary Hardys of this world, and I know in 2016, I think it was, when I interviewed them, they had one girl down on her knees with a manicuring kit, and she was literally airbrushing all of the plants on her hands and knees, and it was phenomenal to watch this take place in the floral pavilion. Were you at that level, but in a herb sense of the word?
Yes, I think we all get very anal about the plants that we grow and put into displays like that. And obviously at Chelsea you have to go that extra mile. I mean, there's nothing worse than finding a plant that's got some naughty little bug that's eating holes in leaves and things. And so you have to grow many more than you need, and then you have to be able to select from them the ones that you're going to take with you in the van down to Chelsea, and you have to drive very carefully to ensure that nothing happens on the way down. And then, you know, when you get there, you have to be picking over them, cleaning them up, taking out all the bits and pieces, and just making sure that they are virtually perfect. I mean, I was amazed when we were down there. We had the people from Singapore. It was one of the, I think it was the university or something from Singapore, but they did a display of orchids, and it was an enormous, very colourful, oriental-type display. They had about 20 girls sitting on the floor, putting these little orchids into little files that were then stuck into Oasis, and then they created this amazing display, and we watched them for days doing this. Very tedious, but that's what they did. And certainly I think everybody who gets involved, and you walk around the Grand Floral Marquee during the build-up, that's the most interesting time. When it's all been done and dusted and put out there and awarded the different medals, it looks fantastic. But the actual build-up is fascinating to see.
One of the things I noticed when I was scrolling through the Herb Society's blog, but there was a photograph of former guest of the show, Toby Buckland. Has he done something with you?
Yeah, every 2 years we have a new president. And I was given the task of getting hold of Toby to see if he would entertain being our president for a couple of years. And he was very, very good. He was delighted, and he came along and he became our president. And so I used to see quite a lot of him on the show. So we used to meet up. And in fact, it was 2016, I think, that he came along, and he was doing a tour with Mary Powell, is it? The other presenter?
Anne-Marie Powell.
Anne-Marie Powell, yeah. And they were on the red button, I think, on television. And he stated that ours was the best display as far as he was concerned. But then he was biased because he was president of the Herb Society. But he and I did a bit of a talk on it, and it was great to have him along. And every time he opened his mouth, he talked about the Herb Society, which is really what we wanted the president to do. This year, we've appointed, we haven't appointed, she's very kindly undertaken, Alice Fowler has now taken on the role as president, and she's helping us from the point of view of mentioning us and being our figurehead, if you like. But she's also helping us a lot with the social media side of things, because she's very into that, and she has, I don't know how many thousands of followers. And, of course, that's really where it's at these days. And Pinterest, or whatever. I think it's called Pinterest, isn't it?
I think it's called Pinterest. I'm not a big fan of it myself now, to be quite honest with you. But you would be right in suggesting that Alice is not only far more entertaining, better looking and better dressed than I, but she's also a lot more popular than I would be. But that's understandable. Even my mother would have laughed at that one, God bless her. If people want to get in touch with the Herb Society, as you noted, you're on the Twitter, you're on the Facebook, there are addresses on the website, and I would highly recommend that you go to the Herb Society. For those of you listening at home, if you're walking, if you're on the road, if you're in transit, don't worry about this. Just at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow or sideshow.com, and we'll have all the details up there and on the show links, and it's there. If you're listening to this in 2019, it'll be there for you. Malcolm, give me a high point of, let's say, your calendar in 2017, or we'll go one better, one on the horizon for 2018. If people wanted to just dabble their toe in.
2018 is going to be great. We've got very engaged trustees now, so they're all working really hard, and we're trying to put it out there for the Herb Society and try and get as many people as we can involved. It is actually an interesting society. It has all the variety of different things to be involved with. And we are looking now to do a display at Tatton Park. We're trying to put together a plan whereby we might engage one of the local horticultural colleges to help us create and then have our display and then sell ourselves to the public as they go by, which has been very successfully done in the past. We had, I think, 2 years ago, one of the other trustees, Barbara Wilkinson, put it all together, and we helped her. We grew all the plants, and she put the plan together, and we did it. This year, we're looking to try and involve someone, a third party, to try and give ourselves a bit of more arm room. But that's the one at Tatton. But meanwhile, we're having an AGM, which I think will be next year, will be in around September time in Stratford-on-Avon. So it's central. Everybody can come. And we'll have a bit of a do there. We'll probably take a hotel this time and get people to come and talk and displays and so on. So it's a different way of doing it. But yeah, it's all on.
And have a couple of drinks afterwards, Malcolm, I gather.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And if you're around over this way, you're here, you're welcome to come along.
I'd very much look forward to it, Malcolm. I'm unsure how Alice would feel standing next to such a good-looking fellow like me with such a great sense of humour, but that's probably another day's work.
Well, I can introduce you to Alice, and I'm sure it would be very advantageous.
It would be an absolute pleasure to meet you. I'll tell you something for free. If all of the members of the Herb Society are as giddy and as joyful as your wonderful Barbara Segal, the world could not have a happier place in which to live, and that is to be quite fair about it. It's a real pleasure to chat to you, Malcolm, but you've got a really wonderful society. And for those of you listening at home, I know at the start I was playing a little bit devil's advocate. It's more we've heard of societies falling by the way, and the whole idea is to take a little bit of a broad range. Don't get me wrong, I don't think you could have more a polar opposite than a cacti and succulent society and a herb society, to be quite fair about it, but we've managed to get them both on the show. Malcolm, if people want to get in touch, I will pass them on your details. And for those of you listening at home, again, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow, sideshow.com, we'll put you directly in touch. €27 membership for an entire year. That is an absolute...
£27.
£27.
Is a pound the same as a euro now?
Ack. Listen.
Is it one to one?
let's not go that direction.
Anyway, I've taken up the hula hoop now. I'm really seriously into this.
Have you? Have you really?
I had a go with it the other day, having been inspired by Barbara. And it's an interesting idea. No, I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. Anyway, Peter, it's been great.
Thank you so much, Malcolm. Look, for those of you listening at home, Malcolm Dixon is the honorary treasurer of the Herb Society in the UK. He's also the head don at Hooks Green Herbs. In the meantime, Malcolm Dixon, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure, my good man.
That's wonderful.
Thanks very much, Malcolm. Have a great weekend.
And you, Peter. Thanks very much.
Chat soon. Bye bye.
Bye bye.